You have forgotten my style. Good morning.
Good morning.
Ah, that's like the last time. So good to be here. I do thank the Lord indeed that I am present with you. Now, some of you have asked concerning my wife, and rightly so. We've been married 49 years, and we should be together. She is well, but circumstances do not permit her to be with me today. Thanks for asking for her. And she told me to tell everybody that I see, whether she knows them or not, that she sends her best regards. Now, it was a joy to be present this morning at the worship meeting, and I frankly enjoyed it. Just giving praise and thanksgiving to the Lord. A real worship meeting. Now, from time to time, people say to me, oh, we had a wonderful worship meeting this morning at our church, which is all right. And I will say, well, what did you do? Oh, the pastor preached. And that is not worship. Worship is the pouring forth of the heart in praise and adoration to the Lord Jesus Christ. That's what we did this morning. And if you were here and were not thrilled, the trouble is not with the meeting, it's with you. It's a wonderful time. So good. I'm so sorry that I was absent last night. I was to speak to the youngsters, and it wasn't my fault. The plane was supposed to leave, was scheduled to leave at 5:20. And I was at the airport and registered at 3:40. So you see, it wasn't my fault. But the plane was about an hour, a little more late in leaving, so I didn't get to speak to the young folks. I like to talk to young people. I'm glad to see a few of you here. I might perhaps be challenging you with a question or two. So get ready. Now, we read from John chapter 3, and our subject is found in John chapter 3. Verse 3 reads, Jesus answered and said unto them, except a man be born again. Verse 5 says, except a man be born of water and the Spirit. Verse 7 says, marvel not, I say unto you, you must be born again. Not that you should be born again. Not that it is desirable to be born again. You must be born again. Now, friends, I'm going to ask a question. Don't raise your hand. Have you been born again? Young people, have you been born again? Secondly, how were you born again? Now, as you know, I'm a lover of the instruments. I've told you that before. And I don't know what instruments will be in heaven. But I've asked the Lord, if there's going to be a piano there, please let me play. That's how much I like the keyboard instruments. And I appreciate the singing of the sisters. That's a foretaste of what's going on in heaven, what will be in heaven. And do you know, the Lord Jesus Christ himself is going to sing. Does that thrill you? I wonder if he's going to sing bass. Or tenor, like Pavarotti. Or maybe he'd like those great Russians. They sing from bass way up to soprano. I wonder what his voice is going to sound like. Creator of the universe that he's going to sing. Oh, friend, if you're not going to heaven, you're going to miss something. Heaven is a wonderful place for a prepared people. But our subject. You must be born again. Have you been born again? And how were you born again? Now, speaking of piano players, a few years ago, a great pianist died. Oh, I enjoyed hearing him play. He would play what other people played, but it sounded different. Gifted, a real artist. And one day in Paris, he was very depressed. He was so depressed that he decided to go and drown himself in the River Seine. He went down to the hotel exit, hailed a cab, and asked the cabman to take me to the River Seine. And as they were driving, the mist and the fog came so heavy, the taxi man said, I can't take you any further. I can't see. I'll take you back to the hotel. And this great pianist returned to his hotel room. And all of a sudden, it dawned on him. He said, well, you know, I am one of the greatest pianists in the world. Just think what the world would lose. And this, if I should kill myself. And suddenly, he was born again. Is that the way you were born again? Is that the way the Bible says you should be born again? Now let us consider what the Bible has to say about being born again. And I'm going to read, you need not turn to it, from John chapter 1. As many as received him, to them gave he the right and the authority to become children of God, even to them that believe on his name, which were born. Now, notice. Which were born not of blood. It's not the genes. Oh, we hear a lot about the genes today, don't we? They're doing all sorts of things with the genes, manipulating the genes, doing all kinds of things, good things and bad things. Well, no matter how they manipulate the genes, that'll never get you into heaven. So forget that. And then the Lord says, you're born not of blood, nor by the will of the flesh. You cannot do anything to be a child of God and to be born again. Nothing that you can do will ever bring you into the family of God. Or you say, but I am good, and I give 100 cents to the dollar, and I am honest, and I am upright. That will not get you into the kingdom of heaven. When you get a chance, turn to Acts chapter 10 at home and read about a man named Cornelius. Why, that man had qualifications as high as could be. Why, even his enemies spoke highly of him. And the Lord said to Peter, now you go and tell him what he ought to do. And Peter told him to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. And we are told also that you cannot be born again by the will of man. No man can get you into the kingdom of God. No man can give you the new birth. And there are all sorts of men. They call themselves gurus and jurus and all kinds of things. If you do this, you'll be all right. If you do that, now let me tell you, especially you young fellows and ladies, when they come to you, you ask them these questions. What do you propose that I should do? Fine. Question number 2, if I do it, what can I expect? And that'll stop them. There's only one way to be born into the kingdom of heaven. Only one way to be born again. You must receive the Lord Jesus Christ. You must believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. What does that mean? When I came to the platform, I watched, most of you were seated, but I watched a few come in. I watched these young fellows in the front come in, and some of them were over here. And I looked for something. What do you think I looked for? Nobody tried the seat to see if it would hold him. Did you notice that? They just believed and sat down. Well, that's what it means. To believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, to surrender yourself to him, give up to him, and let him do the rest. But you say, that's so easy. Well, suppose it was hard. We would all be in trouble. Why, you are probably familiar with that great violinist, Itzhak Perlman. Oh, he plays the violin amazingly well. Suppose the Lord said to me, Arthur Garnes, unless you play a violin as he plays it, I won't let you into heaven. I'd never get there. Aren't you glad that it's easy? All you have to do is believe, and everybody that believes, for you will receive, and you'll be born again. Now, I ask you again, have you been born again? And for those of us that say yes, we're going to take a test. Because we read in 2 Corinthians, where the Lord says, through Paul, examine yourselves whether you are really in the faith. Test yourselves as to whether you are really born again. And that's what we're going to do for the rest of the time. We're going to take an examination. Now, you write down as before the Lord. I'm not going to ask you the answers. We're going to take an examination to test ourselves. Have we really been born again? All right, mathematicians. Six parts, six questions. Totaling 100%, how much does each question count? Thank you. Who said that? Good. I expected it to come from you fellows over here. Each question will count 16 and two-thirds. I'm not going to ask you how much you made. That's between you and God. But these questions are found in the first epistle of John, and if you wish, you may turn to them. First point. 1 John chapter 2, verse 29. Oh, I'm glad to hear so many pages turning. That's nice. If you know that he is righteous, that means that he does what's right. You know that everyone that doth righteousness is born of him. Those that are born again do the right thing. Now, put it down on the paper. Do you always do the right thing? It begins to get a little scary, doesn't it? Whoever is born again does what is right. Now, how do you know what's right? How do you know what's right? The Word of God is right. There is a verse. Please don't turn to it. Isaiah 8 and 20. That verse brings out this point. If anybody, listen to me, young folks, if anybody tells you anything that's contrary to what's in this book, that person is absolutely, conditionally, and altogether wrong. Do you believe that? I hope you do. Years ago, and God blessed me with some very excellent teachers. One of my teachers was a man named Dr. Harrow. A world authority on the, what we call physiological chemistry or biological chemistry. And more than that, he was a world authority on foods, the chemistry of foods. And he gave us a lecture on the vitamins for a whole week, every day for 2 hours. Spoke about the vitamins. And you know, he was one of these real old-time professors. You know, a little short man like that with a big head? Well, that's the kind of man he was. Real smart. So on the Friday, he gave the last lecture. And as he was walking out, one student raised his hand and said, "Professor Harrow, can you give us any references where we can get any more information on the subject?" And what do you think Professor Harrow said? "Young man, I am the world's greatest authority on this subject, and I've told you all that I know." And he walked out. Now, that was not pride. He was right. That wasn't pride. But another time, he was lecturing. And in the course of the lecture, I think we were lecturing on, he was lecturing on sulfur. He took a piece of material and said, "Now, gentlemen," see, it was gentlemen then because the school was not co-ed. Only the boys, the girls were from us. "Gentlemen, here is a piece of brimstone. All right? I'm going to put it into the fire and leave it there, and we will go on and talk about something else." At the end of his talk, which was about an hour, he took the tongs and went over to the fire and brought out the brimstone and said, "Gentlemen, you see, brimstone does not burn." What does the Bible say? The Bible says that the lake of fire is going to burn with fire and brimstone. But he said it, brimstone doesn't burn. Who's right? Are you going to go home and say, "Mommy and Daddy, the professor showed that the Bible was wrong. I can't believe the Bible anymore"? Is that what you're going to do? If it's in here, it's right. And if men don't understand it, they haven't caught up. So, 2 weeks later, I heard another professor. And he was talking about the atoms and a lot of things of that kind. But he made one statement. He said, gentlemen, you can make anything at all burn if you make the fire hot enough. How about it? Why didn't the brimstone burn for Mr. Farrell? It wasn't hot enough. And the rate of fire is going to burn with fire and brimstone. I don't want to be there. Do you? If it's in this book, it's right. We hear so many people say, I don't know what's right and I don't know what's wrong. If it's in the Bible, it's right. This is what you go by, young people. And those that are born again do what is right. Now, your clock is moving just like that one up in Maryland. It's moving fast. So we better go on to the next point. 1 John 5, or rather make it 3 and 9. 3 and 9. Remember, if you're born again, you do what's right. 1 John 3 and 9. Whosoever is born of God does not practice sin. God doesn't say you don't sin. But you don't make it a habit to sin. We all make mistakes, don't we? But if you are born again, you don't practice sin. You don't scheme and plan and plot to do the wrong thing. And if you find yourself doing that, it may be that you have not been born again. Now, this is not sinless perfection, because in this same 1 John, we are told we cannot say we have no sin. And we cannot say that we have not sinned. But we can say we should not sin. Now, if you find yourself constantly practicing sinful acts, put a question mark on. Maybe you're not saved. Now, what about credit cards? Do you practice sin? Purchase more than you can pay for? Those that are born again don't do that. Do you cheat at school or elsewhere? Those that are born again don't cheat. Story is told of a young fellow. He was an apprentice in the store, and the boss went out. And a man came in and said, now look, I want so and so and so. Now give me a little bit more. Your boss isn't here. What do you think the young fellow said? My boss is always here. God. When you're in school, God, if you are truly born again, is always looking. People that are born again don't practice sin. We hear about white lies and other color lies. If you're born again, you don't practice sin, you don't tell lies. Oh, here's a good one. How about the speed limit? 35 miles an hour and you go at 40. If you're born again, you shouldn't be doing that. Oh, you say, well, brother, you're very hard. Well, that's what the Bible says. If it's 35, don't go at 36. It's just that simple. Those that are born again don't practice sin. They don't cheat. And they pay their bills on time. Oh, my. Begins to look serious, doesn't it? You begin to wonder, am I really born again? Yeah. A serious business, this matter of being born again. Now, you rate yourself. Let's take the next one. The time is passing quickly. Chapter 5. Oh, this is a great one. I'll tell you what you do. Make it chapter 3 first. 3 and verse 14. 3 and verse 14. Whosoever hateth his brother is a murderer. Now take chapter 4 and verse 7. Let us love one another. Love is of the God, and everyone that loveth is born of God. Do you love? Do you love? Come to verse 14 of chapter 3 again. We know that we have passed from death unto life because we love the brethren. Now, is there anybody you don't love? How about that teacher at school that's so unkind and so on? How about the boss that's so harsh and unkind? Everything you do, he criticizes. Do you love him or don't you? If you're born again, you love everybody. Well, some people are so hard to get along with. Well, this used to puzzle me for quite a while. Especially with believers. There were some believers, some people in the assembly, I just couldn't see eye to eye with them. It's bothered me. Do I really love him? Yes. I can truly say I love all the believers, but I want to tell you something. I disagree with a lot of them too. That's the problem. He didn't say agree with everybody, but love your friend. You love all the people in the assembly? All the people in your neighborhood? I heard a program recently. I tell you, this love of God is something. This young man killed this other man's daughter. And this man came before me and says, I forgive you, and I love you, and I want you to take Christ as your Savior. Can you do that? That's love. That's divine love. You can only do that if you've truly been born again. Now let's go to the next one. 1 John chapter 4. Verse 1. Believe not every spirit, but try the spirits whether they are of God. Many false prophets are gone into the world. Hereby ye know the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesses that Jesus Christ to come in the flesh is of God. Chapter 5 and verse 1. Whosoever believeth that Jesus is the Christ is born of God. Do you believe that Jesus is the Christ? If you don't, you have not been born again. Not God's way. Jesus is the Christ. The last time I was in Canada, a young boy came to me and said, I want you to pray for my father. My father believes in God, but he doesn't believe in Christ. You're not born again. Another girl in Canada said the same thing to me with tears in her eyes. My father believes in God, but not in Jesus. If you are born again, you believe that Jesus is the Christ, the very God himself. And if you don't believe that, you're not born again. And there's some interesting things about that, you know. You cannot be right if you're wrong in this. If you are not convinced that Jesus is very God, you're not born again. Now, there's some interesting things in this connection. Do you know that God the Father and God the Son always knew the same thing? God the Father never had to teach Jesus Christ anything. Isn't that interesting? Your Father had to teach you. I'll give you another one. The Lord Jesus Christ was older than his mother. How about it? It's true. He made all things. He had no beginning. His mother had a beginning. You know any other family like that? Not another family. The father never had to correct him. He's older than his mother. He knew just as much as his father. Very God. And unless you believe that Jesus Christ is very God, you have not been born again. Now don't tell me he was a good man and a nice man and a good example. He didn't come to be an example. He came to shed his blood so that you, believing on him, might be born again. And to say anything else is just a waste of time. He didn't come to be an example. Now, you know, many people have refused to accept the Lord Jesus Christ as Savior. And many have refused to believe that He's very God. But all of those who have honestly investigated have concluded He truly is God. Now, the Lord Jesus Christ was either a liar, a lunatic, or the Son of God. Now, if you don't believe He was very God, you go home and examine Him. Others have done it. You've probably heard of the picture or read the book Ben-Hur. Yes. Well, there was a man named Robert Ingersoll, an atheist. And by the way, you know, it's a very foolish thing to be an atheist. When you say there is no God, you are assuming that you know everything. That's dangerous. Nobody knows everything. And I'll tell you another thing. Do you know that God knew that there would be people who say, there is no God? And God had something to say about them. The fool says there is no God. Now don't get angry with me. See? If you don't like that expression, you take it up with God. But God says that the fool says there is no God, and I heartily agree with God. If you don't like it, don't take it up with me. You talk to God about it. But I go back now to Mr. Ingersoll, and he had one very bright pupil, General Lee Wallace. He said, Wallace, why don't you take off some time and do some research and prove that all this talk about Jesus Christ was pure nonsense. And Lee Wallace took up the challenge. Oh, he read this and he read that. He went over to the Middle East. He read. And after several months, he decided to write to prove that Jesus Christ didn't exist. All that was said about Him was false. And he got to chapter 2 and stopped, couldn't go any further. And at the beginning of chapter 3, he got on his knees and asked the Lord to save him. Jesus Christ is very God. And unless you believe that, you are not born again God's way. First John chapter 5. Verse 4. Whosoever is born of God overcomes the world. And if you find that you're not overcoming the world, it may be you haven't been born of God. But what is the world? That's summarized for us in the second chapter. The cravings of the flesh, the cravings of the eyes, and ambition. That's all the world has to offer you. More of this, more of that, more of everything, more fun, more pleasure, more possessions, more money, more houses, more cars, more, and then look and see who I am. That's all the world can offer you. That's all. We read in Romans chapter 12, be not conformed to the world. And I like the Phillips translation. Don't let the world press you or squeeze you into its mold. You that are going to school, and you seek to live a godly life, and they say, oh, he's an oddball. She's different. Well, that's all right. Don't you know that the majority of people have been wrong all the time throughout history? You are complimented when they tell you you're different. I know we would go to meetings, and before the meetings, you see, they always served collation. And then I would come in, and they say, oh, here comes Garnes, give him ginger ale. That's all right. Most of them are dead already. Didn't hurt for me to drink ginger ale or water. Don't let the world mold you into its form. But overcome the world by the power of God within. You who are in school, when they say, try this and try that, try nothing. live as before the Lord. Those that are born again are not conformed to this world. They don't follow the world and its passions and fashions. Oh, you say, but you won't be happy. Whoever told you? You see, you can't tell me that I'm not happy and full of joy because you never tried it. But anyone who has genuinely taken Jesus Christ as Savior and has been born again, well, do you know something? We have not only happiness, we have joy. Now, when you go home, you find out what's the difference between happiness and joy. Well, I'll tell you. Happiness depends upon your circumstances. Joy depends upon the Lord Jesus Christ. So that if a dear friend of yours dies, that wouldn't make you happy, but you still have joy. That's the difference. The people in the world don't have it. There is a verse in Proverbs that tells us about people that go their own way. And the end of that way is sorrow. Now, that's in chapter 14, I believe, verse 12. But most people don't read the next verse. There is a way that seems wise unto a man. The end thereof are the ways of death. Then the next verse says, even in their pleasure, they are sorrowful. Now, take all the Hollywood people, see? They have everything. They're before the world. You think they're happy? Genuinely? And they don't have any joy. Ask them. Now, out here, there's a, in Florida here, not too friendly, Fort Lauderdale, a beautiful golf course. I saw it many times. I tell you, it was beautiful. That grass looked just like a green rug. Well kept. I forget the name of the man that owned it. He was a comedian. A fat fellow that used to drive a bus. I don't remember his name. Gleason, thank you. He was approaching death. Ill. Now, I saw and heard this twice. He was asked, what concerns you most? What are you afraid of? What bothers you most? And he said, death. And yet he has all that business out there. And he has all the fame. Oh, friend, things will not do it. You need to be born into the family of God. And you know that God's people died differently from other people. I remember when I was in practice. Why, they even healed differently from other people. I remember on one occasion having one patient in one bed and another in the adjacent bed, both with just about the same thing. And one got better so smoothly, and the other went through such agony and depression. And the nurse said to me, how do you explain it? I said, you go and ask that pleasant one how she explains it. Even under the worst of circumstances, God is with you, and there is a joy that nobody can take away. Young people, please don't be deceived. There is no real happiness in the world. Take Jesus Christ as your Savior. Oh, I wish I had time. I could stay here about 2 hours and give you some examples. Personal examples. Oh, they'll rough you up. They'll laugh at you. They'll scheme against you. They'll plot against you. But in the long run, God gives you the victory. The last one. Chapter 5, verse 18. Well, we did this one before. Whosoever is born of God does not sin, doesn't practice sin. But he that is born of God keeps himself or guards himself, and the wicked one touches him not. Those of us that are born again are aware that we have enemies in the world, Satan and his crowd. Have you ever found in school that for some unknown reason, the teacher doesn't take to you? I remember I had one teacher. I didn't do anything to him. Eighth grade. But from the day that I put my foot in that class, he was after me. When it came to graduation, he assured me that I would not complete my studies at the high school that I'd selected. I think he's dead. But he'll see one day, I doubt that he's saved, God is going to show him. Don't you be discouraged about when they laugh at you and when they belittle you. That's Satan. And he comes, we read in the Word of God, as a roaring lion. You'd be surprised how Satan is after God's people throughout the world. We think that we are rather comfortable here. And Satan isn't after us. He is. And you're going to see more of it and more of it if the Lord comes in the next few years. Out in California, where you have men and women dedicated and devoted to the Word of God. Our brother was speaking of one last night. Believers in the Word of God. Get advanced degrees. Do well. And they're losing their jobs because they believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. That's persecution. I know of a young fellow, brilliant young fellow. He went to California, working on his PhD. And one of the men on the board learned that he was to believe. He says, unless you change your mind, I'll see to it that you don't get your PhD. Persecution. Believers do suffer. But there's one thing you have to remember. The believers are on the winning side. If you're a child of God born again, in spite of the persecution and the anguish, you cannot lose. 2 Corinthians chapter 2, the word says that the Lord Jesus Christ always leads in triumph. You can't lose. And don't look at those fellows on the outside and say how successful they are. They're not successful. They're as miserable as can be. Take the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior. Make certain that you are born again. Now we have about 7 minutes, and I'm going to stop. Now, if you've taken the test, and you're not quite satisfied as to whether you're born again, come up to these front seats. And there are many here who will point you to the Lord Jesus Christ so that you can know without any doubt that you are truly born again. Don't take any chances. And there's another thing, you know. God doesn't force anybody into heaven. Did you know that? God isn't going to force anybody. If you don't want to go there, he will not force you. But I tell you, you're going to be mighty sorry. The story is told. Well, I know the brother. Has Ken Hampton been down here to visit? Well, if he ever comes down, you put him on this platform. You'll enjoy it. He was a police officer in Detroit. He's not tired from that, and he's in the Lord's work. And he was telling us that when he was in high school, one of the courses he had was military science, and he had great trouble in marching. He never could march the way the sergeant wanted him to march. Great trouble in learning how to march properly. The sergeant called him one day and said, look, I can't make you march properly, but I can make you very sorry if you don't march properly. Do you know that he won the prize for marching at graduation? Oh, yes. Now, God is not going to force you into heaven, but I'll tell you this, you'll be mighty sorry if you're not born again. God does not save people against their will. He doesn't take people to heaven who don't want to go there. Oh, I trust that you will be wise and take the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior and know for sure that you've been born again. Now we're going to close in a word of prayer. And again, I make the offer. If you are not certain that you've been born again, come up to these front seats. Don't be ashamed. Don't be ashamed. Make sure. And there are any number who would gladly talk to you. Number 240, you must be born again. Shall we pray? Holy Father, we bow in thy blessed presence at this hour. We give thee thanks for the privilege that has been ours of ministering thy word, of reminding ourselves and reminding our visitors and all present. We must be born again. The consequences are terrible if we're not born again. We ask thee by thy Holy Spirit to speak to each one here And should there be those who are not truly thine, that they may surrender to thee even at this hour. Bless us, we pray, as we give thee thanks. In the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, amen. 240. We're going to stand and sing now. The chorus, he must be born again. Now, beloved, accept the must. You must be born again. No other way. And then when we come to the chorus there, that ye. Now, you know, some hymn books, there's no pause. In your hymn book, there's a pause. So we're going to hold a ye must be born again.